ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य यनांगनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददति सर्वदन्दिगं हरदनस्त्रिनन्दं दैवदं यचै पुनः पुनः श्रीमद्रूपपदाम्बुजो दुलिस्यां जन्मजन्मनि जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव श्री गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे हरदनस्त्रिनंदन तय वृदम यचय पुनः पुनः श्रीमद रूप पदाम्बुजो दुली श्याम जन्म जन्मनी अरदनस त्रिनम दंताय त्रिनम वी नो त्रिन वी हर्ड दिस वर्ड बिफोर त्रिनादपि सुनिश्चयेन त्रिन मीन्स ग्रास एंड दंत यू नो दंत इट आल्सो साउंड्स जस्ट लाइक व्हाट इट मीन्स दंत मीन्स टूथ यू नो दंत Just like we say that the Mayavadis, they're Vedantis. They have no teeth because their philosophy is without any teeth. Vedanti, without teeth. So when one wants to really become humble, then he takes grass between his teeth. When he wants to come before someone in a very humble mood, then he takes grass, just to show his humility, he's taking grass in his mouth. Trin. Aradanas trinandantai. Ridam yache. Yache, in Sanskrit class, we were learning this word yesterday, means to beg. Yachana, to beg. Aradanas trinandantai. Ridam yache. Puna, we know. What does it mean?
Again
and again. Aradanas chanandaite, ridam yache puna puna, I'm begging again and again. What I'm begging for? Aradanas chanandaite, ridam yache puna puna, srimad rupa padam bujo. Srimad rupa padam. Padam we know. Feet. Here it says padam bujo, ambuja. Along with pada, we have ambuja. Ambuja. Who's born from the Ambu. Ambuja. Ambu means water. So lotus flower, he's born from the water, so he's called Ambuja. It's like, you know, Janmashtami, so Ambuja. Who's born from the water? That is another name for lotus. So we're talking about those Padambujo, those, and we're talking about two, so it begins in O, A-U. Srimad Rupa Padambujo, those I'm just want from something from these two lotus feet of Buj can also be limb, but this case is meaning Buj is not Srimad Rupa Padam Bujo, those two lotus feet. Duli. You know Duli? Anyone knows Duli? Dust. Just like another name for Shayan Artik is Goduli. Because that is at the time, in the evening, when the cows are coming back. Krishna's returning with all the cows and cowherd boys. And so all the cows are kicking dust in the sky. So that is Goduli. So that is the time of Shayan Artik. That is Goduli. So Srimad Rupa Padam Bujo, Duli Syam Janma Janmani. Janma Janmani, we can figure out birth after birth. So taking straw in my teeth, I'm just begging for the dust, that wonderful dust. I'm begging again and again, puna puna. Again and again, I'm begging for that dust of the two lotus feet of Rupa Goswami, that I can get that birth after birth after birth. This is the last line in Raghunath Goswami's Dana Keli Chintamani. Because now we left Manasi Ganga, so next place we arrive at is Dhangati. Huh? It's like we heard the word ghat before. So ghat actually means something that's inclined, like that. So where we go down to get to the water, that is called a ghat. And here also we find that Govardhan, he comes down like this on both sides. So that is Gati, Dhangati. There's a little passageway. He's coming down. He went up a little bit, and then he's coming down, and then another side he's going to go up again. So there's a little passageway there where one can cross from one side of Govardhan to the other side. So this is called Dhangati. And this is a place of so many wonderful pastimes, and Raghunath Das Goswami has written about one version of this passage. Is also Rupa Goswami, because he's offering his respects, because he's written this for the pleasure of Rupa Goswami, who wrote another one called Dhanakeli Kumodi. So this is Dhanakeli Chintamani. So what happened was that one time Basudev, he was very concerned about his sons in Braj, Krishna and Balaram. So he engaged one Baguri Muni. There's one Muni called Rishi called Baguri Muni. So he engaged him to do a sacrifice at Govindakund for the welfare of Krishna and Balaram. So we know when there's Jagya, then we need so many milk products and ghee and so many wonderful things. So Radharani's pet parrot told her about this yajna going on. So they knew, the sages, they will need so much butter and yogurt, and if they take butter and yogurt and milk and ghee there to the yajna, they'll get so many wonderful ornaments in reward. They'll get so many nice ornaments and jewels in as a reward from the brahmanas and sages. But actually, they knew that if they, this was just an excuse to get out of the house, because then they know that somewhere along the line they'll be, their journey will be interrupted by one beautiful fellow colored just like a fresh monsoon cloud, with a peacock feather in his hair. This is just excuse. They're not actually going to exchange butter and milk and yogurt. This is just excuse to get out of the house and arrange opportunity for Krishna to come and intercept them. So naturally, Krishna's parrot, he also informs Krishna that all the gopis have big pots of ghee and butter and yogurt, and they're headed towards Govindakund on the side of Govardhan Hill. So immediately Krishna, he takes all his Priya Nama Sakas and Madhu Mangal, and they go there, and somehow or other they find some reeds and different things, and they make put together a little makeshift toll booth that anybody who comes by here, he has to pay toll. So Krishna dresses himself up just like the king of all the toll collectors. He wants to show how much he's collecting, you know. Ordinarily, we think a toll collector, he would be very poor, but he wants to show. So he dresses up very, very opulently to show that he's a very big toll collector. He's the king of all the toll collectors, and he collects the highest tolls. So, as Radharani and all the Sakis are coming, chanting the glories of Sri Krishna, suddenly, Radharani glances in the direction of Dhangati, and she sort of falters and she catches hold of the shoulder of Lalita Sakhi and said, "What is that I'm seeing? Is that a beautiful cloud with a constant flow of lightning? But how can there be a constant lightning only flashes for a few seconds? How can it possibly be a constant flow of lightning? And I see a beautiful rainbow. And I see beautiful ducks flying across that big black cloud. And Lalita Sakhi says, hey Radhe, that's not a cloud or a constant flow of lightning. That constant flow of that black cloud you're seeing, that is your beautiful Shyam Sundar. That constant flow of lightning is his beautiful Pitambar Dhoti. That rainbow that you see on top of the clouds, although rainbows generally appear under the clouds, this one's appearing on top of the cloud, that is his peacock feather. And the white ducks you see flying across that cloud are the beautiful pearl necklace on the chest of Shyam Sundar. So Radharani, seeing that Shyam Sundar is there, then, of course, they've come there with the idea to, this is what they wanted, but they can't show it openly, so they pretend, you know, they pull their saris very carefully, and just from the corner of their eyes, they're glancing, you know, and just hoping for some sort of interchange to happen, but they're pretending like they're completely ignoring the toll collector in his toll booth. And Shyam Sundar also, he catches the sight of Radharani and other sakis coming, and he calls out, hey Subal, what is that? Is that some beautiful moonbeams? But the moonbeams don't have a form, and this, whatever this wonderful yellowish thing is, golden thing is, it has a beautiful form. He says, this is not a bunch of moonbeams. This is none other than Srimati Radharani. And Krishna, he's completely stunned. And Mata Mangala says, hey Sakha, what are you doing? They're going to get through. The girls are going to get through. What are you doing? Come back to your senses. You know, catch them before they get through. They're just see, you know. And Krishna says, yes. Oh, Bhattu, you're right. These impudent girls, intoxicated by their young, fresh youth, they're trying to ignore the tax collector who set up his toll booth here. Stop them! Stop them! Oh! He calls out, Subal, you stop this Lalita. Basanta, you stop Chitradevi. Like that, he's calling out all the cowherd boys to stop. And they grab their sticks and they block the path. And Radharani says, oh Lalita, just see. I knew we shouldn't come by this path. You brought us by the wrong path. Now we've been intercepted. I knew if we came by this path, we'd be intercepted by a band of dacoits. And just see this. The biggest thief of all of Braj is here. Why did you bring us by this path today? And Krishna, he says, all right. We heard you girls, you're making a big profit on the black market, selling all this butter and yogurt. And King Kamadev has heard about this. He resides here on Govardhan Hill, and he's heard about this, and he has sent me here today with the orders that if you don't pay tax, you're all going to be arrested. So then there's a big argument. Lalita says, we never heard of any King Kamadev. We're going to go tell the Queen of Braj, Nandarani, about this, your rascal activities if you don't let us pass through here. Like this. And anyway, big argument is going on. He says, no. King Kamadev has sent me with specific. And Madhu, come here, Madhu. Oh, Bhattu. We found out Bhattu. Just like those of you who know Hindi, then whenever we see small child, then we call, oh, beta. Ah, beta. Come, beta. Take some prasad, beta. Kirtan karo, beta. Do kirtan, beta. Ah, beta. For either boy or girl, we'll say beta. So it comes from this word. So Bhattu means a little boy who's just, especially, it means specifically a Brahmin boy who just started his school in the toll of some Brahmin, in the little school of some Brahmin. He just started, he's all shaved up, he just started, that's Bhattu. So that's why they call Madhu Mangal, is a term of affection, you know, just like we call a little child, oh beta. So all the cowherd boys, oh Bhattu. So, oh Bhattu, come here. You're a very honest Brahmin, so you have to write down all of the tax assessment here as I calculate it, you know, and don't try any funny things and write down less than what I'm doing and later try to take that claiming, you know, what's left over, claiming that as your own, or you're going to be in big trouble with Kamdev. So he calls Madhumangal over there and he says, just see, for these beautiful lotus petal eyes, we'll definitely have to tax, because they're so, the whites of these eyes are so beautiful, we'll definitely have to tax her at least 200,000 beautiful diamonds for those beautiful eyes. They have nice sparkle, diamonds have sparkles, there's nice sparkle in her eyes, so we'll have at least 200,000 diamonds. And her teeth, they're rivaling the beauty of pomegranate seeds. So she should give at least 300,000 golden pomegranates. And her hair is so beautiful black. She will have to give 500,000 beautiful sapphires for her hair. That's a tax for her hair. Like this. And he just, it goes on and on. Her nose, she'll have to give... it is just as beautiful as a sesame flower. And I never understood this. Because sometimes in Braj we see the sesame, right about Kartik time, the sesame trees, sesame bushes or plants or whatever you want to call them, they're growing. And if you look at the flower, it doesn't at all look like a nose. But one day, because it hangs on the plant, they grow up like this all around. And they hang down, and if you look from the side, I mean, ordinarily we'd look at a flower like this, straight on. But if you look at the side of the flower, it's just, it just comes down, turns up like that, and then it's got two little things, you know, because it's going around like this, you know. So there's one little thing coming down, another one coming down. So you look at it, it looks just like a beautiful, and sort of a little bit turned up, just a beautiful nose. So for this nose, this beautiful nose, just like a sesame flower, she will have to pay 1,000,000 parrot beaks made out of jade and rubies. Because parrot beaks are green and reddish, you know, so she'll have to make 1,000,000 just for that. Because Radharani Das sometimes also compared like the beak of a parrot, also beautiful rounded beak. And he just goes on and on for her very thin waist, for those, her beautiful breasts. She'll also have to supply hundreds and thousands of silver pomegranates. For the beautiful lines on her neck, like a conch shell, she'll have to supply 2,000,000 golden conch shells. Like this, Krishna goes on and on and on, making this big list. And finally, Champakalata, she says, you know, well, finally, oh, Krishna says, and for that lovely fragrance that emanates and fills the forest of Vrindavan, enlivens the forest of Vrindavan, emanating from Radharani's body, the only tax I can think for that is she'll just have to constantly associate with me so I can relish that fragrance. They said. In this way, he goes on and on and on and on. And finally, Champakalata, or first Radharani, she becomes very angry. That how dare you stop us like this and try to tax us like this. And although this is actually, she's very pleased, but she puts on this big air that she's very angry like that. And Champakalata says, yeah, and you cowboys, oh Subal, because we know Bal. Bal means strong, and Su. She says very sarcastic, oh Subal, you coward boys are so weak. You're going to have to leave this place right now and go back and bring so many bullock carts and camel carts and donkey carts and whatever kind of carts. If you're going to take away such a tax, how are you going to carry it? You have to leave here right away and go bring all of your camel carts and bullock carts and donkey carts and horse carts. Like that. And Madhumangal says, just see, they're trying to trick us, they're trying to trick us. And Lalita says, Yeah, we're going to catch this little, your little friend Maru Mangal, and we're going to tie his sika in the tree. And then Maru Mangal, he runs behind Krishna. He just runs behind Krishna and he's peeking out like this, you know. And Krishna's my friend. Oh, Batu, why are you afraid when I'm here? I'm just as strong as Lord Nrisimhadev. I will protect you. And he says, and they charge at the gopis and they all run in all different directions. And then, and Lalita says, oh, if you're Lord Nrisimhadev, then why don't you go take your claws and scratch the Hiranyakashipu of Chandravali? And then Krishna, he becomes really angry. Like that when they say this thing. Like this big argument is going on and back and forth and Krishna's not going to let them go. And Lalita and Champakalata and Visakha, they're not going to let... It goes on back and forth and back and forth. Finally, Nandimukhi, she heard. Another parrot messenger told Nandimukhi that this wonderful Dan Keli pastime is taking place on the side of Govardhan. So Nandimukhi appears, the beautiful Brahmini granddaughter of Purnamasi. And she enters and she immediately, Krishna welcomes her. Oh, this is, now our day is completely auspicious. The wonderful Nandimukhi has appeared. And Nandimukhi says, please tell me what is going on here. And then Krishna describes the whole pastime of the Dan Keli Leela to Nandimukhi. And Nandimukhi listens and she says, well, I don't know if the gopis could actually pay so much today. But I'll tell you one thing. Is I will vouch for them that they are all very chaste and honest girls. And I think if you let them go to the yajna with all their ghee and butter, they will get so much wealth from the brahmanas there that they will actually be able to meet you. Just on the side of Govardhan, there's a very special place. Very special forest on the side of Govardhan. And they will be able to meet you on that special place. So I will vouch for their honesty. So then somehow or other Krishna, he agrees that they'll meet. That other place we'll get to in a little while. That's Danivartan Kund, where the tax was repaid. So he says, all right, but if you fail to bring the tax, then King Kamadev is going to be very, very angry. And he will arrest you all. So you better be careful. At least as I think this King Kamadev is just a figment of Krishna's imagination. And then they have a big argument all about that. Anyway, finally Krishna, he lets them go. And they go off to the yajna and supply. All the Brahmins are chanting their mantras and doing the yajna. And they get nice ghee and milk and butter and so many wonderful products for doing their yoga, their yajna. So then they bestow so many beautiful ornaments and cloth and so many wonderful valuable things to all the sakis, and both of the sakis' hearts and Krishna's heart are trembling in ecstatic anticipation of a special meeting on the side in the kingdom of Kamadev on the side of Govardhan Hill. So this is the Dan Gati, where the taxing pastime takes place. There's this little pass, they can pass through there, so Krishna set up his toll booth there. So after we pass by Dan Gati, we go a little ahead. And we find on the left side, there's a beautiful little palace called Bhaktivedanta Ashram. So, and right there, this is a special place. It was right there somehow or other. Although at Dangati, the hill was very low, because that's a gati, it's going down. There, the hill is very tall. And I remember the first time I ever went there, was summertime, so I was sleeping on the roof. And I just to wake up, and it was full moon night. It was that particular full moon. That was that Guru Purnima full moon we were talking about yesterday. And I would just get up, take darshan, you know, whatever I wanted to roll over, then I just take darshan of Govardhan Hill in the moonlight and sleep on this side, and then roll over on the other side, take darshan of Govardhan Hill, roll over on the other side, then wake up and take darshan of Govardhan Hill and roll over on the left side. It's the most wonderful place. Nija nikati niwasam dehi Govardhana twam. This is truly a very wonderful residence just on the side of Govardhan. So as we just pass there, there's a small little kund. The last time I was there, they had just cleaned the whole place. I didn't even recognize. They had cleaned the whole place up. And cleaned the water and everything. It was very nice. So this is Dan Nivartan Kund. So as we heard, that they made an agreement that Krishna let them go, and now they have to meet him on the side of Govardhan Hill at this particular spot to pay the tax. So Krishna's a little cocky, because now they defeated, as far as he's concerned, they defeated the gopi because they agreed to pay. So only brought a few friends with him, and they're walking around like they own the whole place. What they don't know is that way before he gets there, all the gopis have, millions and millions of sakis have come, because they were discussing that this rascal, he's always bothering us and perturbing us in so many ways and taxing us unjustly in so many things. Today we're going to get him. So they've all come and hidden themselves. Now, at least those of you from America, you've seen all these cowboy and Indian movies, right? Where the cowboys are riding along on their horses, and all of a sudden there's a big hill, and all of a sudden, shoo, this whole big line of Indians just sort of pops up over the hill, you know, and then comes charging down and surrounds the cowboys. So you can just imagine, Krishna and his friends, they come walking along, and all of a sudden behind Govardhan Hill, all the gopis have hidden themselves, and all of a sudden, boop! Hundreds and millions of sakis just appear on the top of Govardhan Hill. And they come rushing down and surround Krishna and Balaram and all his friends. And with flower garlands, they tie their arms behind their backs with flower garlands and tie their sikas in the trees. And they just begin to bam, 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 just slapping their cheeks like anything. You rascals, you nonsense. Just using the most, Brijbazis, they have the most wonderful language when it comes to abusing. You'll be very surprised. The good thing, you don't understand Hindi, you would be surprised what the Brijbazis start saying to each other. Anyway, they're just calling the most far out names and just slapping them until their cheeks are bright red. And now Lalita says, "All right, now you have to pay tax. So what have you got?" And Krishna, he doesn't have anything. And if you don't have anything to pay tax, then you have to beg forgiveness. Shamyatam. Huh? You have to beg forgiveness. So you have to bow down at the lotus feet of the Queen of Vrindavan, Srimati Radhika, and beg forgiveness and promise you're never going to tax and harass the gopis again. So then Krishna, he's stuck. His sikha's tied in the tree. His cheeks are bright red. He sort of looks at all his cowherd friends. He puts his eyes down. They untie his sikha. Sort of sheepishly, he bows down at the lotus feet of Krishna. And here the tax was, what do you say? Not relieved. What do you say? Something like that. Relieved. Anyway, so this is Dan Nivartan Kund, where the tax was excused. That's the word we want to use. The text was excused. So then as we go a little further, the path moves off the main road and we go into a nice, soft, brudge forest path, surrounded by beautiful kadamba trees and so many types of trees. The first part is all kadamba trees. And as we come along, suddenly we come to a little village and all the little children come running out asking for pencil or pen. And it must be a village of scholars, I don't know. There they come, pen, pencil. Because that village way off to the left there, there's a couple of villages. One is a place called Chandra Sarovar. And there's a village of Paita. So we said this season, this very season that's going on now, this is a time that the Ras Lila takes place on the side of Govardhan Hill, Basant Ras. And those little villages just off to the side there, one is called Paita, and one is called Chandra Sarovar. These villages are where that Ras Lila is taking place. And at Chandra Sarovar, a very wonderful pastime takes place. Because one time they were dancing, performing the rasa dance. And finally they were all tired, so they just lay down and took rest. And when they woke up, then Shamsarna looked around. He said, "Where's my mukut? Where's my flute?" He can't find his mukut or flute. And he went running to Lalita and Visakha. He said, "Oh, Lalita Visakha, somebody's taken my flute. Somebody's stolen my mukut." And Lalita Sakhi says, "Somebody's stolen your flute and mukut? How is that possible? There's no greater thief in the whole of Braj than you. You've stolen our minds, you've stolen our hearts, you've stolen our all in all, our complete consciousness, you've stolen everything. You're the biggest thief in all of Braj. How can somebody steal from you?" He said, no, it's not a joke. Somebody's stolen my flute and mukut. I can't find it anywhere." So they're just giggling and laughing at him, so that he runs off to Brindadevi. He's, "Oh, Brindadevi, it's horrible. Somebody's stolen my flute and mukut. I can't find it anywhere." And Brindadevi says, "It's not stolen. Lalita and Visakha are keeping it." "But I was just with them." They denied. "No, you go back there and ask them very nicely. They will return your flute and mukut to you." So then, Krishna comes back to Lipisaka and they say, "Yes, we have your flute and mukut. But if you want this flute and mukut back, then you have to become the Darwan of Srimati Radharani, who's the actual queen of Vrindavan." You know, Darwan, that's the guard. That's a very, generally the chokidar. You know, that's not the most elevated position in the kingdom. So you have to become like the chokidar. In fact, on the day after Balaram's appearance in Braj, if you go to the, which temple will it be? Madan Mohan temple. Because that particular, the day after Balaram Purnima, then all the temples in Vrindavan have very, very interesting darshans. Very funny darshans, I should say. Funny darshans. So if you go to Madan Mohan, Krishna has no, he doesn't have his mukut and he doesn't have his flute, but he's holding dal and talwar, sword and shield. Now his hands are there like this, you know, the deity's there, but they put this big shield and in one hand he's holding sword. And Radharani's standing high. Krishna's low and Radharani's standing up very high. She's dressed like a king. And because she's dressed like a king, we get Charan Darshan on that day in Madan Mohan temple. Because she's wearing her dhoti, you know, how they wrap the dhoti around between the legs like that. So her Charan Darshan is there. And the flute and mukut is lying at her lotus feet. Krishna has to become the chokidar of Radharani's kingdom in order to get his flute and mukut back. And also Chandra Sarovar, they say this is where Surdas, who's a famous poet of Braj, blind poet, he wrote many of his poems here. In fact, there's a little statue of him there. Some murti is there, Chandra Sarovar. Now nearby in Paita, this is a very interesting pastime in Paita. Is that place, we know one time that Krishna hid from the gopis during rasa dance. And at that time, there's many different times this happened. When the Vasant Ras, at that time when he disappeared, then he took on the form of Lord Vishnu. And all the gopis and Srimati Radharani, they came running through the forest. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? They saw Lord Vishnu standing there with his Chaturbhuj Roop. Well, first all the gopis came. And they saw Lord Vishnu there. And they paid their obeisances. And then they said, have you seen Krishna anywhere? Have you seen Shamsundar anywhere? Did he pass this way? They weren't at all interested. This is amazing. This Braja Bhakti is so amazing. They had no interest whatsoever in this Vishnu form. They just paid their obeisances out of respect. And then they said, have you seen Shamsundar? Did he pass this way? Did Nandanandan come this way? So Krishna disguised as Vishnu with his forearms. He pointed, yes, he went that way. Pointed in all four directions. But then very soon, Srimati Radhika came. And as soon as she saw this Vishnu form, and as soon as Krishna saw the beautiful form of Srimati Radharani, then those two extra arms, they couldn't stay. They just, they disappeared. He couldn't maintain that form in front of Srimati Radharani. So this is the place, Paita. So then as we go a little bit ahead, we come to Aniyur. Now this is the place where, because we're at Govardhan Hill, and we haven't even talked hardly about the Govardhan Leela, but this is the place where the Govardhan Leela takes place. So here, as we remember, all kinds of big preparations were going on. The cowherd men were cooking and bringing lots of ghee and yogurt and so many butter and so many things and lots of grains. All these big preparations were going on. And Nandanandan, he saw all these things going on. He went, he said, Baba, he went, Nanda Maharaj, Baba, what's going on, Baba? What is this all about, Baba? Huh? Please tell me, Baba, even if you think I'm too young to understand, what is this? Are you doing some jagya, Baba? What is this all about, Baba? So then Nanda Maharaj, he began to explain to Krishna that every year we worship Lord Indra because he's in charge of the rains and we are depending on the rains for our crops and for making nice green grasses for the cows, because we depend upon the cows for our livelihood. So every year we traditionally do this worship of Lord Indra. And then Krishna says, so what is the use of worshiping Lord Indra for rain? Because after all, it rains on the ocean. There's certainly no need of water in the ocean. Huh? And there's no need of, it rains on the stones also where there's no need of water. Rain is just coming. If you just do your work, you'll get, rain automatically happens. There's no need of worshipping any Indra. What is the use of this worshipping Indra? In fact, he said, actually, this Govardhan Hill is supplying nice green grasses and fresh waters for our cows. We should worship Govardhan Hill and all the Brahmins, because the Brahmins there in protecting and guiding us in spiritual life, and this Govardhan Hill is supplying nice green grasses for our cows to make milk and yogurt and ghee so the Brahmins could do yajnas. We should just worship Govardhan Hill and all the Brahmins. So Nanda Maharaj says, all right, Lala, we can make another yajna like that at another time, because it takes, you know, it takes a long time to get all these things together. So we'll do that. And he says, no, Baba, you shouldn't. Don't wait, Baba. You do it now. Do it now, Baba. It'll take a long time. You're right. It'll take a long time to get all these things together. Now you've got all these grains. You make this big feast. Huh? Somehow or other, Nanda Maharaj was convinced. And then Krishna made a whole big list. All things made. Puris fried in ghee, and rasgullas made with milk, and gulab jamuns made with milk, and ghee, cooked in ghee, and and lots of rice with lots of ghee on top of it, and laddus, and so many big long list of preparations he made. He told them. So then they cooked. This is called anukut, when you make so many different preparations. They cooked so many, hundreds and hundreds of preparations. They made a huge feast. Just mountains and mountains of rice were there. Mountains and mountains of puris. And mountains and mountains of pots of paneer sabji and pakoras. And it's a ekadasi. Don't relish it too much. But anyway. And mountains of laddus. And rivers filled with sweet rice. And lakes filled with nectar and yogurt. And so many wonderful, wonderful preparations. And when everything was made, then suddenly Krishna, just to convince the Brijbasis, he assumed a separate form on top of Govardhan Hill. Suddenly a big form appeared on top of Govardhan Hill, separately constituted from Nandanandan. And Govardhan Hill became just like a big throne, and he sat down on that big throne. And then Krishna and Balaram, they saw this big form of Krishna. They said, just see how Govardhan Hill is so satisfied. He's assumed this wonderful form to accept our offerings. We should all bow down. And then Krishna himself was bowing down to that Krishna on top of Govardhan Hill. So then Krishna and Balaram bowed down. And then that huge form of Govardhan, or the huge form of Krishna sitting on Govardhan, he looked down, he saw all this incredible mountains of rice with steam coming off and butter and ghee melting on top of it, and so many piles of mountains of puris and laddus and pots of rasgullas and sandesh and gulab jamuns. Well, sandesh you can relish, that doesn't have any grains in it. So, so he just began to eat up all of the offerings. In fact, since he was a little boy, he didn't make any distinction between what is, there was just so much there, he just began to eat with his right hand and his left hand. It was just everything, was so much there. In fact, he suddenly manifested millions of right hands and millions of left hands, and bloop, 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 bloop. In a matter of a few minutes, he finished everything off. And if you've ever been to Braj and you've seen that the young Brijbasi children, following the example of their leader, they're never, ever satisfied. No matter how much you feed them or how much money you give them, they're never satisfied. So then, that big form of Krishna, he began to cry, Anayor, 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 give me more, give me more. And Nanda Maharaj said, but whatever we had, we've emptied out our entire stock. We don't have anything else. Please be satisfied. Anayor, 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 give me more, give me more. And Krishna himself went there and he shrugged his shoulders. He said, but it's true, we don't have anything else. You please be satisfied. Anayor, Anayor, give me more, give me more. So just then, some Brahmins came and they gave some tulsi leaves to Nandanandan. And Nandanandan offered those tulsi leaves to that big form of Krishna on top of the mountain. He took those tulsi leaves, put them in his mouth, and he said, Triptosmi, 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 just like you know, what is that? Chaturvida Sri Bhagavat Prasada Sadvana Triptam Hari Bhakta Sangam. Triptam means to become fully satisfied. So he said, now I'm Triptosmi, now I'm fully satisfied. And when Krishna was fully satisfied, then all of a sudden all of those huge mountains of puris and mountains of steaming rice with butter on it and everything, boom, all of a sudden reappeared in front of everyone. All the lakes again filled up with yogurt and nectar and the rivers flowing with sweet rice. Everything appeared just like it was before. So then the Brijbasis, they enjoyed a huge feast and they circumambulated Govardhan Hill with all, keeping all the cows in front. They went around circumambulating Govardhan Hill. And then Indra, he became furious. And he began to talk about Krishna using insulting words, but the goddess Saraswati made all of his insults into praise. He wanted to say that this guy is just a talkative little fellow, but what he came out saying is that people will always talk about him. And I can't remember right now, but he's, whatever arguments he said about Krishna, he makes other personalities go down. What it mean? What he said that Krishna is very, he's just a little, you know, he's not a very high birth, meaning that there's no one, he makes all of the personalities go down because he's so high, everyone else goes down. And this way, whatever arguments Indra gave, they were all turned into actual indirect praise of Krishna. So then he called his Sambardika cloud, which is called whenever there's need of destroying the universe with water. So that somebody, he told them, go there and rain down pillars of water and chunks of ice accompanied by heavy winds, and inundate the entire Braj and destroy these coward men. They're so much faith in this talkative little fellow. Like that. And don't be afraid, I will come riding on my elephant carrier behind you. So the rains and winds, suddenly all these black clouds appeared on the horizon of Braj, and suddenly huge clouds and huge winds, icy winds came, and suddenly rain was and hailstones were pouring down, and everyone was running hither and thither, and the cows were running, and nobody had any other shelter other than Krishna. They all went to Krishna and cried out to please save us. At that time, Krishna lifted up. It's interesting, because Sanatana Goswami gives a little information here. Krishna lifted up that Govardhan hill with his left hand. Now, why use left hand? Because generally, when we want to do something very difficult, we do it with our right hand. The left hand is considered to be very weak. So Krishna just wanted to show, he lifted with his left hand. Now, Sanatana Goswami says he actually lifted it with his left hand, but when Mother Yasoda was just looking like that, then he put it on his little finger. Look, Ma, it's no problem. You know, just like we're learning to ride the bike, you know. And our mother looks out the kitchen window and there we are. Look, Ma, no hands, you know. So he said, look, Ma, he just put it on his little finger. Then, Krishna, he invited all the residents to bring all of your belongings and all your cows and everyone just come under hill. Don't think this hill is going to fall from my hand. Don't think it. Don't be afraid. Actually, Giriraj, he's floating by his own free will. And just see, all the dirt that's fallen off the bottom of the hill has made a nice wall all around so the waters won't rush in. So don't worry about that either. In this way, they all entered underneath the hill, and when they entered underneath the hill, they saw there was a beautiful valley there, filled with trees and birds and bees and flowers and trees, and incredibly wonderful celestial place. Now this pastime is very, very, very special. Because all the entire residents of Braj, they entered under that hill, and they were able to see the beautiful moon-like face of Krishna for 7 days and seven nights. This was a very, very special mercy. Because no one ever gets to see Krishna all the time. In the morning, Mother Yasoda, she wakes Lala up and has all the little servant boys come and dress him. And then she feeds him his breakfast and he goes off to herd the cows. So he's with the cowherd boys. All the cowherd boys come in the morning. And they go off with him all day. He's with the cowherd boys. All night he's with the gopis. Like that. The other residents of Braj, when Krishna goes out to herd the cows and they get to see him go. When he comes back, they get to see him. They only see him for a few minutes. You know, when he goes out and when he comes. Like that. But now everybody in Braj got to drink the nectar of the moon-like face of Krishna for 7 days and seven nights without any interruption. This was a special mercy bestowed upon all the Brijbasis. So everyone saw Krishna was holding up this hill. There was a beautiful valley underneath, beautiful celestial village underneath the hill. Everyone was so surprised. And It was so nice down there, they couldn't even, it was just all that rain coming down, just, it just made a nice sound, just like sometimes people make in their yards, they make little waterfalls and things like that, so there's a little sound of water. So it was very nice, pleasing sound was coming of water falling. Huh? It made very nice background sound, and they were just enjoying like anything, all of the gopis. Because everyone was staring at Krishna, so even the gopis, they could also, because everyone was astounded to see him holding up this hill. So even the gopis, unabashedly, hiding behind their veils, they were all staring at Krishna. Nobody was looking. They didn't have to worry about anybody watching them staring at Krishna, because everyone was staring at Krishna, so they could also stare directly at Krishna. And Mother Yasoda, she got so worried, she went there and she began to massage Krishna's hands. Said, "Oh, Lala, you must be so uncomfortable." He said, "Oh, Govardhan, please, you just become so soft. My Lala's hand is just like soft butter. How can he hold up this heavy hill? Please become so soft, Govardhan." And Lala said, "Mata, it's no problem. Govardhan is actually, he's sitting here by his own will. It's nothing. Govardhan is so special. He's just sitting there by his own will. It's not that I'm holding it. It's no trouble, Mata." And Mata Mangala is there. He says, "Are Maya, you don't have to worry about anything when I'm here. When I'm here with your son, you don't have to worry. By my Brahman Tejas, by my power of my mantras and my Brahman Tejas, I'm keeping this hill up, so you don't worry about anything. It's not a problem." But Mother Yasoda, she's just watching. Days are going by. Says, "Lala, you're holding this hill for so long. It must be so uncomfortable." Says, "Mata, he's just, Govardhan is by his own will. If he wanted, he would just fly around. Well, if you'd show me him flying around, I'd believe it." And Mother Mangala says, "You foolish lady, why are you worried? Don't you know by the power of my mantras this hill is staying up? It's not at all. And I've chanted special mantras so that Krishna doesn't feel at all tired." And Mother Yasoda, "You rascal, foolish, greedy Brahmin boy, you're just making jokes. I'm so worried about my Lala, and you're making all these jokes and laughing about the whole situation. This is serious." And Nandamara says, "Why are you chastising this poor boy? He always speaks sweet words and Lala likes the talks of Madhu Mangala. Why are you he's speaking in a very nice way. Why are you bothering him?" But anyway, Lala, because then, next thing, he's holding up the hill with his little finger of his left hand. With his right hand, he began to play on his flute. So then, Mother Yasoda says, "No, Lala, don't play on your flute, because if you play on your flute, then certainly Govardhan Hill, he may become filled with ecstasy, and he may topple off of your hand." Or who knows, we've seen sometimes the rocks melt, and if the Govardhan melts on top of us, we'll all die. He says, "Lala, you always get us in trouble. You always act so independently. We were worshipping Indra for so many years, and we never got any trouble. And now you just, you always act independently, and you don't listen to anybody's good advice, and now just see where..." And Manoma says, "Are Mata, what good did this Indra ever do? All he did was throw thunderbolts on our head and pour water on us. Just see, by his angry, we're able to enjoy this wonderful nectarine pastime of Krishna holding Govardhan Hill. Why are you glorifying this Indra? Anyway, Lala, but you've been holding the hill for so long. Why don't you take, I have some nice soft butter and some nice milk product. At least you eat something. You've been holding it for days with it." Now, Manama, "Yeah, now you're talking. I'm also very hungry." "Now you said something right." "Maya, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, bring it." And the gopis are all laughing, and they're telling Radharani, "Don't... whatever you do, don't move your eyebrows." "If you move your eyebrows and excite Nandanandan, his hand's going to quiver, that hill may fall." Like this, all this laughing and joking is going on. And for 7 days and seven nights, and the residents of Braj, they didn't feel any hunger, thirst, or sleep. Not like us. We can go in a Bhagavatam class, a nice lecture is going on, and... Or we're looking at our watch, when's breakfast? They didn't feel any hunger, thirst, or sleep. For 7 days they were relishing this wonderful pastime. So meanwhile, Indra, he came there and he was completely shocked to see that nothing was happening. These clouds were pouring down incessant volumes of rain, and he just began to chastise them. And out of fear of Indra, they began to bring more. It's like the clouds were, they were becoming sick from drinking up all the water from the ocean and then vomiting it out on top of Govardhan Hill, and nothing was happening, not even a speck of dust. Govardhan Hill became so huge that he rose above the clouds, and even deers and squirrels and everything were running around freely on top of Govardhan. Indra became even more angry, and he was just challenging his clouds again and again and again and again. The clouds were just, they were practically without life. And then finally, when Indra realized that this has been going on for 7 days, and he's chastised his clouds and thunderbolts and everything like anything, and nothing's happening. He's throwing thunderbolts and it's just dancing around the sky and making a beautiful scene, but not a single mark is coming on top of Govardhan Hill. Then he realized, oops, I made a big mistake. So then he called off all the clouds. He said, better get out of here quick, you know. And he ran back to his Indraloka, and there he sat on his throne, and he looked very worried. And Mother Sachi, she saw that he never came home. He doesn't come to eat. He doesn't come to sleep. He's just sitting there, worrying on one side, worrying on the other side. So she went to Brihaspati. So I don't know what happened. He came back from somewhere. He's just sitting there. He doesn't come home. He doesn't eat. He doesn't sleep. So then Brihaspati went there and he asked Indra, what's the problem? So Indra told him. And Brihaspati said, you really blew it. Now you've really blown it. I mean, we hear sometimes we get classes about Vaishnava aparad and stuff like that. But most of the time, about the biggest aparad we do, you nonsense! We call somebody a nonsense or something. But Indra tried to destroy all of the Brijbasis along with their cows and houses. Such aparad we can't even begin to imagine. Brihaspati said, if you go there directly, Krishna won't even recognize you. He won't even see you. You better you take some devotee to argue on your behalf. And best thing is you take Surabhi. Because Surabhi, she's very dear to Krishna, and she's a cow, and that makes her even more dear to Krishna. So then Indra, very sheepishly, he took Surabhi and he went back down to the earthly planet. That time, he saw Krishna wandering around Govardhan Hill, inspecting just to see if there was any damage. Actually, what happened when the cowherd men came out from underneath the hill, then they saw that all their houses were nice and washed nice and clean, and everything was nice and clean. Everything was wonderful. On pretext of seeing what damage was there, Krishna was wandering around Govardhan Hill. So Indra came and he fell down just like a stick and paid his obeisances. And Lala, he didn't even look at him from the corner of the corner of the corner of his eye. Just pretend like he didn't even exist. So Indra was very upset. So he sent Surabhi there. So there's another place. We get around to the other side of the hill. There's another place called Surabhi Kund. So Surabhi went there and she began to pray very nicely that you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you're very merciful to your devotees and you're very powerful. Even if millions of Indras came here to destroy Govardhan Hill, by your protection, nothing could happen. So what is this one Indra? He's nothing. You see this personality standing behind me with his head hanging down. He's actually feeling very sorry. He's actually crying. He's actually repenting. And since you're very merciful to your devotees, you should consider him a devotee and you should forgive him. In this way, Surabhi began to speak in so many ways, and Krishna said, all right, if you think that he should be forgiven, then I am prepared to forgive him millions and millions of times just by your request. So then Indra came over there, wiping the tears from his thousands of eyes, and paid his obeisances on the ground. And then they went around to the next place, just around the corner from Anur, is Govindakund. So they went to that place, and then Giriraj again manifested a very wonderful throne, and Indra's elephant Airavata brought water from the celestial Ganga that flows in the heavenly planets, and then so many celestial beings also began to appear, and everyone was offering something, and this whole Abhishek was going on, and Surabhi was offering milk, and Airavata was bringing water from the celestial Ganga, and big Abhishek, and all the Apsaras began to sing, and the Charanas and Bidyadharas were playing their instruments, and Gandharvas were singing, and Apsaras were dancing, and everything was going on, and Brahma and Vishnu and Brahma and Shiva, and so many, all the demigods came, and everybody was offering something, and the seven sages came, and they brought these beautiful lotus flowers from the Mandakini River to offer to Krishna, and the sun god appeared, and they blossomed like anything. The moon god presented Krishna with a beautiful crystal mirror. In this way, whole big celebration was going on. And finally, at the end, after the Abhishek, then Indra sent so many beautiful girls to dry Krishna off, and dry another set of girls to dry his hair and tie it up. And another set of girls he sent to dress Krishna again. And then Krishna sat down, and then Indra took a crown, and from this day, because before that he was known as Gopal, from this day he became known as Govinda. As Jiva Goswami explains in Gopal Champu, means the king. Just like Indra is the king of all the devas, so the Indra amongst the human beings means he's the king of all the human beings. Or Yogendra, he's a Yogendra, he's a Indra amongst the yogis, he's the king of all the yogis, like this. So here Govind means he's the king of the cows. Now what is the import? Because all the 33 million demigods live within the body of the cow. If Krishna becomes the Indra of the cow or the king of the cow, that means that he becomes the king of all the demigods, and Indra also accepts him as his master. Like that. So he crowned Krishna as Govinda. And then they did this wonderful aartik ceremony with beautiful golden chamaras and silver peacock fans and beautiful gold encrusted conch shells and gold and silver pots full of water with coconuts and mango leaves and so much wonderful opulence. This big aartik was going on, and Krishna was sitting there and receiving this aartik from all, and the Apsaras were dancing, and the Gandharvas were singing, and the other beings were playing their instruments, and everything was going on very, very wonderfully. And then they all were very satisfied that Krishna is happy. Now he's received our aartik ceremony, now he's satisfied. And they all returned back to their heavenly planets. And at that time, all the cowherd boys appeared. Because what has happened, when Indra came, he was riding on this big elephant, Airavata. He's not like our Gulab. He's huge. I mean, we get next to Gulab and we think, wow, if this thing steps on me. But Airavata, he's huge. Now, even these small elephants, Indian elephants are small compared to African elephants. Even these small elephants, just like sometimes when we had the procession for Prabhupada's disappearance, we have a procession through the whole town. So we used to get an elephant to lead the procession. And in the backside we had the bullock cart from the Goshala distributing halava. So in the beginning, everyone's, you know, once it gets this all strung out, it's no problem. But in the beginning, when everybody's all grouped together and all of a sudden the bulls come from the goshala, and you've seen bulls, you know, they only go forward and they're not worried, you know. People were amazed in Kumail. They saw these huge bulls like this, you know. And they just, you know, everybody sort of jumped back when they saw these bulls coming, you know. They just, But when the bullock cart would come from the goshala and it would see that elephant, you know, suddenly their ears are flopped down there like this. They go, like that. And their eyes would just bulge, become big, you know. And those bulls would be going backwards. So Indra came riding on this big Airavata. All the cows, they took one look at that huge elephant and their big brown eyes with big eyelashes, like that, and their ears went like that. And you ever seen cows run? You all live in cities, you don't know, but the cows run, it's very sweet. They put their tail up like a little flag as a warning to all the other cows. They put their tails up in the sky, like this, and then they kick, just in case somebody's coming behind them. They just kick and kick and kick, and they run and they kick and they kick and they kick, and tail is flying like this. So all the cows, they just... So all the cowherd boys went running. That's why Krishna was all alone, because all the cowherd boys went running off to try to gather all the cows, because they all ran away. So anyway, so all the cowherd boys came back and they saw Lala sitting there and they saw all of this wonderful artik paraphernalia. Ghee lamps filled with rubies and pearls and conch shells covered with gold, lined with rubies and diamonds, and wonderful yak-tail fans with pearls and emeralds encrusted in the gold, and peacock, golden and silver peacock fans, and so many wonderful things. And they saw Lala sitting there, so they just picked up everything and began to play. And the devas, when they were doing their artik, they were chanting, you know, Veda stutis, Purusha shukta, and all these big Vedic mantras, and like this was going on, all perfect meter and perfect pronunciation. They weren't saying jnanam, they were saying jnanam, and so many, everything was perfect, you know. So, and the cowherd boys came, and they saw this artik paraphernalia, they picked up and they began to play, and they were just singing little Brishbasi songs, you know. They didn't even sing on tune, you know. They're just singing, Arati Kunja Bihari Ki, Sri Giridhari Krishna Murari Ki, Arati Kunja Bihari Ki, Sri Giridhari Krishna Murari Ki. Not even on tune they could sing. And Lala, he was just laughing and laughing and laughing and just enjoying this artik like anything. And all the devas were up in the clouds and they looked down and they saw and they felt ashamed. They said, we thought Krishna was accepting our artik, but he was just officially. He was just officially accepting our artik. Huh? We don't even have a pinch of love like these residents of Braj for Krishna. We don't even have a pinch of love like them. Just see how Krishna is so pleased with their simple artik. This is just official. Just like, you know, when they make a new bridge, you know, then the mayor comes out. He'd rather be sitting on the beach, you know, but he has to come. He has to worry about getting votes, so he comes there. And they take pictures, and everybody smiles, and, you know, and they cut the ribbon, and cars drive across, and you know, it's all official. There's no love. So like that, the demigods, it was all official. Krishna was yes. But now he's really accepting their arti. They were just feeling ashamed of themselves. At that moment, Nanda Maharaj and all the senior Brishbasis, they heard something funny is going on the side of Govardhan Hill. Gold and silver and rubies. And I mean, he started out with butter and yogurt. Now what is he doing? You know, now what are these boys up to? So Nanda Maharaj, of course Nanda Maharaj, he knows everything, but he wants that all the Brishbasis understand. So he came there, all the senior Brishbasis came, and all of a sudden they're playing there with their gold and silver and all this stuff, you know. And they looked and they saw their superiors are there. And Nanda Baba says, where did you guys get all these things? The cowboys, I don't know, it was just here. You know, we went after the cows and we came back and Lala was sitting here and all these things were here and we're just... Yeah, right. Just like, you know, you come home from office or the temple or whatever and you come in and there's a big mess on the floor of the house and you look at your little son or daughter and say, who made this mess? And she says, no one. Yeah, right. It just happened. Huh? Yeah, right. You just found all this rubies and pearls and diamonds. They were just lying around, you know. So then Madhu Mangala was there. He said, no, Baba, no, Baba. I saw it all, Baba. I swear to God. I crossed my heart and hoped to die. I saw everything, Baba. They didn't see, Baba. Because what happened, Baba? This big elephant came, Baba. I never saw an elephant. Baba, not just one trunk, like Gulab. This had many, many trunks. And all the cows, when they saw, they all ran away. So everyone ran. But Baba, I'm lame. I can't run. You know, Madhu Mangala, he's lame. He can't run. So I was sitting here in the bushes. I saw everything, Baba. You won't believe what happened, Baba. This guy came, Baba. I swear it's true. He had eyes all over his whole body. And he fell down on the ground in front of Lala. And Lala didn't even look at him, Baba. Then this cow came. I swear it's true, Baba. This cow was talking to Lala. You know? After that cow talked, then again that guy came with all the eyes. And he bowed down. And you won't believe it, Baba. This guy came with 5 heads. You know, all these snakes around his neck, you know. This other guy came with 4 heads. You couldn't believe it, Baba. And then they came over here. And then all these ladies were there. They were dancing, you know. And these guys were playing on musical instruments. It was so far out, Baba, and all these far out personalities came, and they brought all of this stuff, and they did this big abhishek, Baba, and then, Baba, then they did this artik, and then, Baba, they left. And then when they left, and the cowherd boys, they came. It's true, I swear, I crossed my heart. You know, hope to die. It's true, Baba, I saw everything. It's true. I saw it, Baba, I saw it. They didn't see, I saw it. It's true. So, just then a voice came from the sky and said, Nanda Maharaj, now you take that crown and crown Krishna as Govinda. Because that was the official one. Now we have to, when the Brijbasis crown Krishna as Govinda, that's the real crowning. That's when he really gets the name Govinda. So that was just official one. Now the real one happens. So then Nanda Maharaj, he crowns Krishna as Govinda. And all the cowherd boys and cowherd men and cowherd women, everyone was fully satisfied. And they were all dancing and singing and having a wonderful time. So now we've gotten from Anior to Govinda Kund. And that Kund, that was formed when all the Abhishek Panchamrit flowed down over the transcendental body of Krishna. And over his lotus feet, then it all went down and formed that kund, and that kund has become known as Govinda Kund. And Bhakti Ratnakar mentions, if anybody takes bath in that Govinda Kund, then he gets Govinda Prem. Now many, many wonderful pastimes happen here at Govinda Kund. In fact, in more recent times, Madhavendra Puri came to Govinda Kund. Now Madhavendra Puri's behavior was such that he never asked anybody for anything. In fact, even if he was hungry, he never went begging. If somebody came and offered him something, then he took it. If nobody offered him anything, then he didn't. Not like when we go in Nabadeep Mandal Prikama in another week or so, and then we get to the breakfast stop, and there's no breakfast, and we're all sitting there making these angry mudas. Angry mudas with hands on the waist and toe is tapping. Prasadam's late. You know, Madhavendra Puri, if somebody offered him something, he ate. If somebody, nobody offered him anything, he fasted. So he was sitting there remembering the pastimes of Krishna. And for 3 days he didn't eat anything. Nobody came. And there's a very beautiful place just on the side of Govindakund where there's a huge, enormous Kadamba tree. Enormous, because the Kadamba, not like these Kadamba trees. These Kadamba trees, you put the seed in the ground, the rainy season comes and they grow like that, isn't it? Those who live here, you've seen these, how fast these Kadamba trees grow. They're just, in a couple of years, they're big like this, like all these trees here. Isn't it? They grow very fast, isn't it? So, but our Braj Kadamba trees, they're very, very slow. But this one is huge like this. And he's got one root. He's growing right on the edge, right on the steps. And he's got one root that must go like 30 feet along the stairs. And then goes in a crack and disappears. Huge root is coming. Beautiful Kadamba tree. Very peaceful and quiet places there. There's another little place. That is Balavacharya's sitting place. But all the Brahmins, as soon as they see your Gaudiya Tilak, oh, Madhavendra Puri sitting place, Madhavendra Puri sitting place. Don't be fooled. Underneath that Kadamba tree, that's where Madhavendra Puri was sitting. So he's sitting in this beautiful place, just remembering the pastimes of Krishna. And this wonderful little cowherd boy appeared. And he said, oh, Maharaj, why are you fasting? Nobody in my village fasts. Madhavendra says, who are you? He said, I'm the owner of this village and nobody in my village fasts. Everyone has plenty to eat. If they don't have anything to eat, they beg from others and eat. So if you go to Braj, it's very, in fact, you have to try very hard to starve in Braj. You really have to try. Because everywhere you go, you just go Radisham, Radisham, Haribol, Haribol. You'll get nice, not chapatis. We make chapatis, these little flat things. But in Braj, we get rotis. They're about this thick, this big. And they didn't make them with rolling pin, you know, with nice ball bearings inside. And no. They have a little clay oven like this, with a little tawa on top. They take that piece of dough and they make it a little flat and then like that. And then they flip it around and then they stick it. And they flip the next one on top, then they stick that one leaning sideways in the fire. Then they flip it around the other way like that and it blows up. They put ghee on top. So everybody's very... I talked to many sadhus. There's no place like Braj. In Braj, wherever you go, everyone's very... As soon as they see sadhus, they're very happy to feed sadhus. There's no other place where the same bhav is there, where the people are very anxious. They go out of the way to call you into their house and they give you sweet rice. Not like sometimes we go to life member's house and it just looks like they cooked it down for maybe 10 minutes, you know, it's like rice and milk mixed together, you know, and it's all runny. It's thick, you know, you hit the bowl and it just sort of jiggles, you know. Nice, thick, sweet rice. Whoa, Brijbasi sweet rice, so thick. Huh? Yeah. So nice, thick kheer. It's very difficult to starve. So anyway, Krishna told him, he said, if somebody doesn't have anything, he begs from others and everyone is happy to feed him. So anyway, I brought some milk for you. Madhavendra said, how did you know I was here? Well, the cowherd ladies were milking the cows. They told me, they gave me this pot of milk, said, bring it to that sadhu over there. He's sitting there. So I have to go get my cows. So I'll come back in a little while and get my pot. So Madhavendra Puri, he offered the milk in meditation on the lotus feet of Krishna. Then he picked up that pot of milk. And even without any honey or gourd to sweeten it, it was so sweet and so nice. He never tasted milk like that. His hairs were standing on end tasting this milk. Such wonderful milk. And then he was waiting. When is that young boy? He was so beautiful. When is that boy going to come? And he was waiting. And he was chanting his japa. And in the wee hours, he was all up all night chanting. The wee hours of the morning, he nodded out. When he nodded out, then in a dream, he saw that same boy came, Madhavendrapuri. Oh, Madhavendrapuri. Madhavendrapuri, come. And Madhavendra, in his dream, he woke up. And he looked and he saw, there's Jayapataka Maharaj, Lokanath Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj. All of these wonderful Vaishnavas.
Like honey dripping out. Wow. It's the easy way out of going on parikrama. Huh? Sit down and he takes you around.
Don't worry, I keep putting in plugs for Navadeep Mandal Parikrama also.
Register them from Braja Mandal.
Mandal. So he opened his eyes and he saw this beautiful, that same beautiful boy was there, and he said, come Madhavendrapuri, come. He said the pujari was frightened by the Muslim invaders and he took me out of the temple and hid me in a bush and he ran away and he never returned. And I've been here for so many years waiting for you to come and get me. And he took him and showed him this bush. When he saw that bush, then all of a sudden his sleep broke. And he woke up and saw that boy wasn't there and nothing was there. He was just a dream. And immediately he ran to the village and he called all the villagers that I've seen this wonderful dream. Please come, bring your choppers and machetes and sticks and shovels. And all the villagers came running and that path that he followed in the dream, he followed that path. And he came to that bush and they began to cut away all the thorny bushes and everything. And they saw this beautiful deity of Gopal. So then Madhavendrapuri, he took that Gopal Didi up on top of the hill. There wasn't any temple at that time, so he just leaned him up against some stones on top of the hill. And then he ordered everyone to perform Anukut. So one village came, they brought their entire stock of grains and ghee and milk and yogurt, and they engaged 10 or 15 Brahmins to cook, and everyone was cooking. All the Brahmins were singing very happily. You've seen the Brahmin cooks, they're big and like this, big thick sikas and big fat, you know. They were all singing and very merrily cooking all the mountains and mountains of rice. And every day a different village would come and bring all of their Brahmins and bring all of their grains and ghee and milk and yogurt and everything. Every day this big festival was going on like this. And finally they built a beautiful temple on top of the hill. And then we could go on and on and on, but anyway, later that deity has gone to Nathadwar and become known as Srinathji. The previous he was known as Gopal, now he lives in Nathadwar and he's become Srinathji. But I'm told even in Nathadwar in the evening there's no evening darshan. Because they say that Nathji, he goes back to Govardhan Hill to eat in the evening. So I'm told, I haven't seen, but I've told, there's no evening darshan in Nathadwar because they close the temple and evening they don't open because they say he's gone to Govardhan. Like that. In fact, from Govindakund we can look back and we can see still there's a temple on top of the hill. So although in Gaudiya Sampradaya we don't walk on top of the hill following the orders of Lord Chaitanya, who respected Govardhan as non-different from Krishna, so we don't step on the hill. But other Sampradayas you'll see Brishbasis and other people walking on top of the hill, but we ourselves don't walk on top of the hill. But still there's a temple up there on top of the hill. What time is it getting to be?
Go to Jetipur and you can see about 7 o'clock in the evening.
All right.
Unembodied voice
is there. You can see from Jetipur? Bo Guru Charanaha. This is my Braj Siksha Guru. So what time is it getting to be?
1:25.
1:25. All right. Since we've basically finished Govindakund, so this is a good place to stop. Unless there's some questions. Chandrasarovar, that's where the pastime took place of stealing Krishna's flute and mukut. The whole area, Chandrasarovar and Paita, that's where Rasa, in the springtime, Rasa Leela is taking place. Because this now is Basant, this is springtime. And that verse, Antaya Madhiravala Haridasavar. This is from the 21st chapter of 10th canto and verse number 18. I was thinking it was 10 because in Shivaram Swami's book it's discussed as chapter 10, so it got twisted in my brain. So it's 21st chapter of 10th canto and 18th verse. And Tanoti means offer. Manam, he's offering respect. Manam Tanoti, he's offering. So we can just bow down at the very supremely soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality. Who's delivered Govinda to us? Srila Prabhupada ki.